Hey, AfterBuzzers, welcome to the after show for Leah Remini's documentary series, Scientology and the Aftermath. Today, we're going to be breaking down the season 3 premiere titled Star Witness. We'll be discussing the gold base, the hole, and some shocking information regarding Shelley Miscavige. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes.
Aren't you supposed to be singing? I thought we made an agreement.
I'm so sorry. The Eye of the Tiger. I'm not going to torture your ears anymore. That's as much as you're getting. But I feel like this is an appropriate song.
It is.
Started out on kind of an empowering note because the sort of central part of this episode was Valerie Haney, who was a total badass.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to get into it. But I just want to say thank you guys so much for tuning in to another season of the show.
Yes.
Unfortunately, there's still more stories, but I find it so interesting to just keep learning about this crazy organization. And I'm not alone to talk about this. I'm actually joined by a lovely co-panelist.
Yes, I'm Jackie Ray, you guys. Nice to be here.
Yeah, so nice to have you. I'm so excited to break this down.
Me too. I feel like
I always need to kind of digest and dissect after this insane series.
Right.
But yeah, like I kind of said at the top, we're going to be discussing some new stuff that we haven't ever really seen before on the show, like the gold base and the hole and some new information about Shelley Miscavige, which is obviously a really huge mystery still happening today. I just want to know, what were your kind of overall thoughts on the season premiere?
I mean, we kind of heard about the story with Valerie before, but like those little hidden details that you're like, what? Every time I feel like, okay, we know the dirt. It's not going to get any dirtier. Then it muddies it up. So I'm like, oh my God, is it ever going to end? It's nonstop.
Exactly. And the fact that she was so high up sort of in this church, and we've had people who were high up before, but I think her close proximity to the Miscavige's just made her so interesting.
Definitely.
And just brought such a different sort of perspective that we hadn't really seen before. So let's jump right in. Let's kind of start out by talking about Valerie's sort of early life, sort of her, you know, just overall story.
Right.
So she was actually born into Scientology, which I always feel just makes it such a sort of unique story. And I mean, obviously everyone feels kind of the pains and, you know, has the same sort of hardships, but being born into it versus kind of getting adopted into it later, like, you don't really have a choice when you're born into it.
Right.
So what did you kind of think about that?
I think, you know, as bad as it's going to sound, I think being born into something like that is the best way to have long-term people without trying to escape. Because, you know, they all say the same thing. My mom wasn't around. I was really kind of raised by the organization and indoctrinated. And I think once you're indoctrinated, because, you know, we hear about that all the time now with mental health, like, oh, this is happening to you now because this happened to you as a child. So when that is your only really, your real frame of reference, I think it makes it harder to get out, and it makes it easier. You're more impressionable. You know what I mean? And even when you get to the point where you're like, okay, maybe this isn't right, all your family, your friends, everything is there. So why would you leave?
I think that's such a good point. And the fact that they really don't have any other frame of reference.
Right.
Like, they don't have other books or the internet to be able to kind of scour and be like, maybe this is a little strange.
Right.
And the things that they're teaching them was just so insane. Like, the violence aspect I found so disturbing. Like, how they were kind of promoting kids to essentially abuse each other to stay on the straight and narrow of Scientology.
I did find that one, like, she said that she heard, you know, over and over and over again, like, if you feel like acting out, go ahead and do it. If you feel like punching someone in the face, go ahead and do it. Which seems kind of counterintuitive when you're trying to keep people to stay. You know what I mean? You're already abusing them as far as like working them to the bone. Are you really making it okay for us to just walk around and hit people on a whim? Especially since you're saying suppress your emotions.
Yeah, I felt
like, I don't get that.
Very kind of odd too. And I am like so interested in cults in general. And Amy actually had a different documentary series that kind of gave us almost a survey. Like, they had Jehovah's Witnesses. They had all of these different kinds of cults. And a lot of those, it was like the religion of peace and like nonviolence and stuff. And obviously they were hypocritical, but the fact that they sort of practice what they preach in a way, I found really interesting and kind of different from other cults in a way.
Yeah. I found it weird too that, you know, we kind of just the way that family, I mean, and I get it. It again is another way to keep you indoctrinated. When when you can just dismiss your family so easily, like, if I don't have my mother to fall back on, if I don't have my mom to say, hey, this is happening to me, come rescue me, then I'm going to stick to what I know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's genius in a way. I know that's a bad thing to say about this cult.
Evil genius.
It's an evil, yeah. Like it's Dr. Evil, you know what I mean? So it's genius in that aspect.
I agree. And the fact that it's not even just that they don't have their parents, like they're not even allowed to miss their parents.
Right.
Because that's not doing what the church would want. And you're giving up every single thing you have, every emotion, every desire for, you know, this organization, this church who does not treat you well. Like you're giving and giving and not receiving anything.
Nothing.
But like pain, which is just terrible. And so she was actually in the Sea Org herself for 22 years. Well, let's talk about a little bit like her teenage years too. And I thought it was really interesting how she was saying how school was not important at all.
Right.
And how she didn't have her GED.
Like even to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge thing. It was only really kind of a seed was dropped here, but I think that's another way of controlling people.
Absolutely.
Like if you don't have the education, if you leave, how are you supposed to get a job?
Yeah. Like, we've seen that in past episodes. They've told people that like the world's a scary place. You don't have the education. How are you going to make money? And you know, then, but what I was surprised here on this episode when they were like, yeah, if you leave, you're going to end up getting cancer. Like,
yes.
Wait.
So like, bizarre.
Right. That's just a random thing. But again, if you don't have the educational background to say, oh, I'm not just going to randomly get cancer when I leave here, then that probably does make sense to you.
Yeah.
Again,
like,
genius.
You know?
Right.
It's just crazy.
Right.
And so when she was 15, she started waitressing at this high-end restaurant, essentially, which kind of is the way that she got connected with the Miscavages.
Right.
And I thought it was really interesting how Shelley was the one to be like, oh, I like this girl. Like, I want her kind of on my team. Which I think, like, makes a lot of sense because we'll touch more on Shelley later, but I think she's definitely the more, like, sort of soft, like, nurturing sort of part.
Motherly.
Yeah, and so I would absolutely, like, I can see why she would have wanted to go with her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it seems like a great gig. You know, you get to go to this gold base that we learned about.
The gold base, can I just say, was gorgeous.
It was. Which
so pretty.
And that's part of it because it's like this luxurious sort of facade. But then when she got there, I thought it was interesting how she was so happy and so excited. And right away, she could tell that something was off there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, her instinct, right away, she could tell.
Yeah, because she's like, hey, hi. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you so happy?
It's like, that's kind of a red flag in a way. But at the same time, like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, because if you're not in that position, like, you don't know.
I think you know. But again, I think it's one of those things where, because she says she asked herself, like, what is happening here? But it wasn't one of those, what is happening, let me run away. It was more, it's going to be explained to me. It's all going to make sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I just don't think, I think they're very good at dismantling your triggers.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
For sure. And again, they kind of told it like it was. Like, in regards to the gold base, you know, David was talking about how, you know, where you came from was a fantasy land and this place is really going to toughen you up. And they, like, pretty much admitted to the inhumane treatment.
Right.
And still get people to agree with it because they're that powerful and good at kind of manipulating and twisting their words, which is just bizarre.
Yeah.
But, like, the scariest part of it almost.
Yeah. And it's almost, especially when you know that it's not going away, people are still joining.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, it's kind of like, okay, you know. But I thought Valerie handled herself well. You know, when they started the show, he was like, well, why didn't you escape when you had all these numerous chances? And I think that, you know, especially those of us who've been watching the show, we know that it's brainwashing.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you fall in line.
Exactly. And so we'll talk more kind of about the hole and the sort of techniques they use. But before that, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about what's happening at our network, because our network actually produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you and you'll help After Buzz Buzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they are completely optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you guys on air. Yes, guys, please use the comment section. I'm so interested to hear what you thought.
Definitely.
Love having, you know, all of these discussions,
yeah.
You know, even after the show. But for now, you guys, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, for sure. All right, so let's really get into the kind of nitty-gritty of it.
Yes.
Because some of the things that she and Mike were saying, because they had worked together sort of in the past, which mm-hmm. I thought was interesting too. Some of the techniques that David used to kind of control and humiliate them were, I keep using the word bizarre, but bizarre.
Right.
Like the name tags.
That makes sense though, right?
It
because
does.
It's like... You kind of identify, especially for the higher ups. Mm-hmm. To me, that made perfect sense because here you have these executives that already feel like they're the upper echelon, right? So they feel like they should command a certain amount of respect. And so I could see with someone like David, who seems to have this enormous ego,
mm-hmm.
I could see wanting to put them in their place. So now you're going to wear this name tag that really tells you what I think of you. Like yeah. It's degrading, but for him, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It was all very almost childish in a way too, because there was the name tags and there mm-hmm. was like the paper plate over your face at
yes.
a meeting. I was like, what?
Yeah. And then David said he would walk up and just punch you.
Yes.
Or Mike said he would walk up and just punch you just at will. Could you imagine you and I just sitting down and then just getting punched in the face?
No. It's like actual like schoolyard bullying.
It
like,
is.
You're right. He has a massive ego mm-hmm. and he resorts to just using these, you know, recess.
Right.
Like horrible bullying techniques like in.
But they worked when we
and
were kids.
Yes.
You know?
And he has all this power now.
Yep.
Oh, it was just crazy.
Right.
And I think, like, the most terrifying part was obviously the hole, which is basically it's, like, two trailers stuck
mm-hmm.
together
mm-hmm.
Where they make you sort of confess to all these imaginary crimes, and it's, like, essentially, like, a thought reform
mm-hmm.
program. And
mm-hmm.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, we talked about that a little bit more in sort of past seasons.
Yes, we have, yeah.
But I thought it was interesting to see their perspective on it, because instead of like going into what happens there, they kind of talked about how it was used as a threat.
Right.
Which, again, I think that's just so like powerful
yeah.
of them.
And I think I liked how they kind of presented the catch-22 of the situation mm-hmm. because, you know, you're told to serve, 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 work, work, work. Go and do these, you know, these audits or whatever. So like how many hours do you really think are in the day? And then David says, yeah, but what did you do for Scientology? So those are what you're supposed to do. But what did you do to help grow the church? And when they would, and then, yeah, okay, now you have to go to the hole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was one of those things where, again, another form of mind control, because now I want to stay out of the hole. And if I have to beat you into a confession to stay out of the hole, I'm going to do that just so I can go back and say, hey, by the way, did you know Taylor did?
Yeah.
You know, please don't send me to the hole.
Yeah, like, exactly. They, you know, sort of foster this environment of like constant surveillance, telling
right.
on your neighbor
right.
and grinding you down, and just like all of that combined
mm-hmm.
is just like, I don't know how people even do it. Like, I don't know how people even survive this, but I mean,
22, 37 years. It's like, I just feel like the light bulb. Cause again, even if you grow up in it, you're still a human. You still have that human spirit. I feel like the light bulb goes off sooner.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe, again, maybe it's just that fear of losing everything you know.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it doesn't even matter. Like, they kind of talked about that. Like, there was this fear and there was this want to get out, but it's like, well, they've conditioned you to believe that anything on the outside is
scary,
way worse
and bad.
Terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And so just to kind of talk a little bit about, like, the whole right now, because they kind of touched on how it's changed a little bit and how there are like 30 of the top executives in there sort of together because they witnessed basically the crimes that David
mm-hmm.
Miscavige has committed. And the one that I found the most sad was when they were talking about the 80-year-old man.
Right.
Who was made to shoot that video. What did you think about that whole situation?
That one kind of hurt my heart, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you have your grandparents and stuff
yeah.
like that that you love. And as they get older, you know, all of us at some point, you know, barring anything ending our lives soon, we're going to have little ailments. We're not going to walk as straight as we used to, you know. And to know that he was, number one, forced to do this video praising David. And then second, when he was kind of leaning, because he's old.
Yeah.
And then they literally built a like, I just felt that was a form of, that's elderly abuse. You've been abusing all these kids, all these adults. But it just, and I don't want to make it seem like those other abuses are not heinous, because they are.
Sure.
But when you can see this person who's, you know, approaching the end of their life, and you still want to abuse them just so you can look good, I don't even know where that level of evil comes from. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I think that the fact that you mentioned looking good, mm-hmm. the fact that he went to all of this trouble, he would build chairs and build special equipment just so the video would look perfect.
Right.
That just speaks to the narcissism aspect of it all. And also the marketing aspect, because it's like, you want to make it look perfect.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with him. He's in great condition. Like, that was nuts.
Yeah.
The fact that he went to all of that trouble
to
get
to make
a straighter video.
Like, and I would have loved to see the difference between the two videos, because I bet he was still delivering verbally. I bet you he was exactly the same. So it probably didn't even make that much of a difference.
No one else probably would have noticed.
Probably
but him.
Not. Yeah.
Oh, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
I now want to kind of move on to what I thought was one of the most interesting parts, which is the whole Shelly Miscavige situation. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of said earlier, this is still a huge, huge mystery in Scientology. She's been missing. She hasn't been seen since 2006.
Right.
And so the fact that we got Valerie's sort of testament and firsthand sort of stories about her, I thought was so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually worked for Shelly for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was super interesting how she was saying how good of friends they were.
Right.
Like, did that surprise you at all?
It did, because up to this point, we've always heard about even family members writing reports on each other when they say anything that speaks against Scientology. So to have this non-family member feel like she, and you're younger than her, she probably looks like at you as a daughter. Mm-hmm. For her to go to you and say, hey, what do you think about this? And in full confidence that you're not going to write a report on her is amazing. And it also lets you know about the camaraderie. It also explains why Valerie all of a sudden got punished to manual labor, because they wanted them to be as far away as possible. And that to me was like, okay, so now you're afraid they're going to start a coup, which I did. You know, Shelly, again, seems like a very strong woman. So I get the mentality, but I thought it was amazing that she really bonded with this person who's not family, because all we've heard up to this point is how they kind of cater you so you can just dismiss people easily, you know?
And I think that it is true that there are strength in numbers. Like, the fact that they were talking, I mean, they were kind of whispering almost about trying to do a whole structure change so David, you know, would stop abusing these people. And then, like you said, that right after, you know, Valerie's moved right after, you know, Shelly was kind of taken off and everything, and made to do physical labor, which is obviously, you know, a
degrading
punishment
again.
For something that she didn't do. Like, she didn't do
anything wrong. I did find it interesting, though, as much as I do think Shelly was probably already mentally beginning to check out, I found it interesting that instead of starting this coup, she just wanted it to be restructured to see if that could stop David's abuse. Clearly, the abuse is never going to end, but she wanted to try. And he didn't take that as an opportunity to say, okay, well, maybe, you know, he was just like, no, this abuse is going to continue.
And I think that he sees, you know, restructuring, I think to us seems really small. Mm-hmm. I think to David and to Shelly, that would have been huge.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been a coup, you know, in David's mind. And so he's like, well, I got to nip this in the bud before it starts.
Right.
In that moment, the last moment she saw her, where she started crying a little bit and looked away, was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Like, even then, she couldn't show emotion. Even after her best friend for, like, 3 years,
she still knew. She still knew.
Yeah.
And for that to be the last time she was seen, it makes me wonder, were those, like, I don't, you know, because I watch a lot of crime TV, so I can, like, read a lot into situations.
Me too. Law and Arrest for you. Yeah.
Right, yeah. So, to me, it's like, was she kind of looking away, like, I don't want this to be the last thing she remembers about me are these tears. Like, this is definitely going to be the last time she sees me. I don't want her to remember me like this.
Yeah, that's a really interesting interpretation. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even thought of that, but that makes it even
sadder. Twisted crime shows.
Oh my gosh, that's so heartbreaking. So we talked about how she goes and Valerie's forced to do you know, this manual labor, digging ditches, which is, like, right. so just, like, random and just
awful.
Awful. just a form of torture.
Right.
She said she felt like she was in a prison and she wanted to, she, you know, contemplated suicide, which is just so awful.
We've heard that a lot, though.
We have.
We've heard that a lot.
Because it's like, you don't see a way out.
Yeah.
And I totally get that. Because, mm-hmm. like, staying is terrible. Mm-hmm. And they made the outside world seem terrible. So it's like, where is that?
Where are you going
to
go?
But then they moved her to being in the video production unit.
Right.
Which, yeah, like we kind of talked about, that's a really, really big part right. of this, you know, organization, because it's all about marketing. It's all right. about getting the word out and recruiting. And I thought it was really crazy how they use non-Scientologist actors, though.
Okay. I have a reason for that, because I've actually been to the Church of Scientology as a performer.
Okay.
So we did this whole show there, you know, and as musical artists, you walk in, because we've been doing these dive bars, you know, for the sure. last year. So you walk into the Church of Scientology and you're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And literally, you're in such awe. And that's why I'm so fascinated by this show, because even though I went to the Church of Scientology 3 times. So, you really do realize there are plants, because I'm sitting in the sound check and I'm walking in. I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I'm thinking I'm just talking to a fellow performer. She's like, this is beautiful, right? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, wouldn't you just love to perform here all the time? I'm like, shoot, yeah. She's like, girl, me too. Next thing I know, there's an intermission where they put up this amazing production you're talking about. And it's like a This Is Us kind of production where, you know, you're crying at the end of it. Whoa. You're like, oh my God, I really should be a part of this. And then here comes the same girl. Do you want to be a part of this? Let me show you where you can sign up. I'm like, oh my God, you're a part of this? She's like, yeah. I'm still thinking she's a performer. Whoa. So now I'm signing up, and now I'm signing up for classes. It's strategic. So if you can bring these actors who are not part of the church, especially since you can kind of appeal to, because they offer free acting classes.
Yeah.
They offer all these free things that you as an artist could really use. You know what I mean? Because everybody's out here starving as an artist when they first get sure. to LA, you know? So it's again, genius, because now you're bringing people with talent in who can make your organ. It's branding. That's all it is.
Yeah.
It's branding. Genius, but corrupt.
That's such interesting insight, but that's mm-hmm. such a good point, because you're right. And mm-hmm. if you can, you know, handing out a pamphlet is one thing, but bringing someone in and showing right. you how grand
this could
amazing
be you.
This is,
mm-hmm.
that is, that's a whole different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of going back to just, you know, Valerie's experience, the fact that those were her best days are when the non-Scientology people came. Again, that's so sad, because she's just longing for a normal life.
Yeah, I wonder if she even knew she was longing for normal until she got a glimpse of normal.
That's true.
You know, I wonder. Because she said that once the actors weren't coming back is when she panicked.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't until she found out, when she thought the actors were coming back, she was fine.
Yeah.
But when she's like, this is the last day of filming, then it was like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
You know?
Before we get to her escape, which is such a... Epic. Oh, my gosh. We were, like, on the edge of our seats. We did find one fact really interesting, and that's that the thing that kind of made the light bulb finally go off in her head was when they were shooting a movie about brainwashing in the Korean War. And I was like, whoa, that's risky.
Why would you do that? Because that has to make you go, we're doing the same thing.
Right? I'm like, if you're, I mean, granted, we haven't seen it. We don't know how accurate it is. We don't know what they're talking about. But it's right. like, that seems like a ballsy move right there.
Right. Because especially when you have, maybe not if you had no one from Scientology, like if you really just did everything third party and there was no one from Scientology involved in the production. But I would think anyone from Scientology would be like, wait,
hold
so that's a far,
up.
Wait, question.
Yeah. You know,
like, I just couldn't see, like, I think everyone, they're lucky it was just her mm-hmm. that the light bulb went off with, you know?
That's so true. But mm-hmm. we were both like, why are
literally
they
had to stop
that?
And go, wait, what?
Rewind. That was a crazy, crazy
right,
detail.
Right.
So yeah, now let's talk about her actual escape, which was like a straight up thriller movie, mm-hmm. essentially. So yes, like you said, it was the last day of shooting. She realized it was now or never. She went and grabbed her purse, and she realized,
and her jewelry. That's
her
important.
Jewelry.
Let's not
You're
forget
right.
the jewelry.
You're right. She's a smart lady, and she realized there was sort of some blind spots in the parking lot, mm-hmm. and she just started trying to open every single trunk, which I think, just shows the absolute desperation right. that she had at this point.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrifying. You never want to be in a trunk.
No, and you don't know whose car it is.
Exactly.
Like, where they're going. What if they're a crazy psychopath and you go from bad to worse?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's brave. It's very brave of her.
Yes.
And thankfully, you know, now that we know she's safe, thankfully there was a car unlocked.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because that's rare too nowadays. You know?
For sure.
So yeah.
And the fact that she surpassed two of the guards, and the fact that she said, oh my gosh, they're already probably looking for me. I'm like, whoa, it's been like 10 minutes.
Which I feel like they were, because why else would the second guard stop them,
yeah.
right? They definitely knew she was missing.
They work fast, and they really do have eyes on you at
all times.
Mm-hmm. Which is, oh my gosh, that just scares me so much to even think about. But she was in that trunk for like 2 hours.
Which, where was he going?
Like, I don't
know. He was driving for 2 hours.
Yeah, I think that they said like near Burr. And I think that
Church of Scientology and Burbank are close together.
It's true.
You know, so I don't know.
There's maybe traffic, guys. It's LA. There probably was 2 hours of traffic. Like, well, let's be honest. But she, the quote that I found really, really jarring was when she said when she was in that trunk, she felt like she could breathe again.
Right.
Which is like, you're in a trunk
where you don't know where you're going.
And there's no air in that trunk. Like, I know it was, she was being, you know,
yeah.
like symbolic and metaphorically speaking, but it's like, wow, the fact right. that this contained terrifying place is where you felt the most free that you right. ever have been.
Like, crazy.
Wow. What a crazy way to have that weight lifted off your shoulders.
Yeah.
And so then the guy gets to his girlfriend's house, which I just really love this part.
Me too.
And instead of like being mad or freaking out, he was like scared, but offered her a ride somewhere.
I think I would too. You know what I mean? Just because.
I don't know that I would. I'm not going to lie.
I think that if I could see, because I'm sure when she jumped out of the car, it was fear and relief on her face.
Yeah.
And I think if I knew someone was, you went through all that, you jumped in, especially my trunk, because that would have been, she'd have been crammed, because there's a lot of stuff in my trunk. But if she'd have fit into my trunk and I would have opened, I'd have been like, oh, I would have immediately thought, what can I, you know, why? What is going on in your life that you feel? Now, on the flip side, there would have been a side of me that thought maybe I was being set up. But I think that she probably got out with that look on her face that was like, hey, because especially when she follows up with, is there an airport around?
Right.
Then you know she's escaped some situation. I genuinely hope that they're still friends.
Me too. I want to interview that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, please get him on
Yeah,
here.
How did you feel?
Like,
how
I want to put him in danger, but I also really want to talk to him.
I wanted to see the girlfriend. I wanted her to talk about the look on the girlfriend's face. Was she instantly like, oh my God, or she's like, wait, who is in your trunk?
It's like just such a bizarre thing. But I guess you're right. Like, just the look on her face probably said it all. And if he did work with her like all day, he knows
he
that
recognized
she's not just
her.
Some, you know, random
He probably
person.
Thought somebody put her in there is probably what
probably.
He thought.
I probably would have, honestly. You never know. You can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
But thankfully, she goes to the Burbank airport and she calls her dad and, you know, goes to live with him in Portland. And then he makes her go back.
So I'm watching this, and it, like you said, it was like one of those movies, because I'm like, oh, this is going to be one of those happy reunions. Totally forgot he was a member of Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
So when they said he made her go back, my heart literally sunk.
Yeah.
Like, how do you know that your daughter was so desperate to jump into a trunk and then send her back?
Thankfully, when they first said that, I was like, he made her go back. But it was go back to, because there's two different things that we learned. There's to, you know, I think blowout versus route out. And routing out is the sort of, you know, more respectful way. So you're not an enemy of the church, which, like, granted, it's probably, I mean, she probably could not have talked to her dad if she wouldn't have routed out.
Right. But, you know, at the same time, even though it's the more respectful way, so you're not an enemy, you're not an enemy because now anything that you say, they have this video where they can say, no, she said the opposite. It's a total, and she had to sign of a non-disclose agreement.
Yes.
So it's a total way to be like, nope, she's lying.
It's like
she's
blackmailing her, just like the whole process is blackmail. Mm-hmm.
But her dad had to know that, and to want her to go back and do that anyway is still weird to me.
I'm wondering, I wish we would have heard if he was still a Scientologist.
To this day, right?
And I feel like he might not be. be, honestly, because they're talking a lot about her brother mm-hmm. and how they kind of turned him against her, but they didn't really follow up about her dad. Yeah. So I'm wondering if he's still a member, and I'm wondering if we'll ever sort of find that out.
I hope so. I would like to know that too.
Yeah, because that was like a question that I would have liked answered. But the other thing we learned there was that it can take months for this routing out process to kind of go in effect, mm-hmm. which is just another way of just completely, you know, loading up this process. Yeah. So it's just as painful and horrible, you know, as it can possibly be, because that's how they operate.
Yeah. And I like the video that they did show the one person routing out, because the guy didn't even get to finish the question. He was like, like, just let me out.
It's so fake. And any body language expert, or you, because you watch crime shows, right, can tell that it's fake.
Exactly.
Come on. I did really like the fact that we just get the little tidbit of Leah offering her job right after she escaped.
Yes.
Leah is like the mother of all the ex-Scientologists.
I did like how she was like, when the Church of Scientology was like, yeah, Valerie's being paid $1,000 a week, and Leah was like, that's absolutely false. She gets a lot more.
I know. like she's so good. I love how they kind of insert those little moments of like humor and just upliftingness mm-hmm. of it. But unfortunately, it's not like all good. Still, she's still being followed.
Yeah.
People are waiting outside of her apartment to like serve her different papers. They're stalking her on Instagram. It's just so awful what these people go through. Even after they leave, they're still not free of it.
Right. It's weird because, you know, I think it would be easier. Like, you know, my mom used to always say, you know, you catch more flies with honey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it would be, even though I know there's still people, like I said, joining, I just think that they could, if they were doing work in the community, if they were helping people, like you could still increase your membership.
Well, I think that they do kind of do those planted mm-hmm. activities. They're like, oh, look at us.
Have you been to one? This. I've been to one.
I have not been to one of the churches.
I'm going to take you to one. Are you ready?
No, I'm not doing it. I literally will not do it. My sister wanted to like just go in the one in Hollywood. I was like, no, I'm staying outside.
No,
I'm too scared. I've watched two whole seasons of the show. Not doing it.
You'll have a new insight.
No.
Okay, that was a hard no. She's like, no, nothing you gonna say.
I've been taught better than that. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps up kind of the meat of this episode. Is there anything else you kind of want to bring up before we move on?
Just the news that they did open a brand new facility, and it's one of those.
TV news. Yeah, we got the whole music
Look,
and everything.
I feel like a wiggle. But so, like I said earlier, that I feel like they're still growing.
Yeah.
They just opened up a brand new facility in Detroit. With this kind of the motto is like take back Detroit, because you know it's it's an impoverished community. And I was texting my friend. I was like, did you know that they opened a new facility in Detroit? And he was like, and he lives in my hometown, which is Denver. But he's like, well, yeah, in the hood in Denver, mm-hmm. they've opened one, which again, wrong, but genius.
Yeah.
Because if you go to these neighborhoods that are struggling financially and you can offer this way out. Genius. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying it's genius.
They know exactly how to target, who to target,
yep.
when to target. Like, they just, they yep. know everything
I feel
to
like
do.
Somebody must have worked in marketing. That's
oh,
like,
absolutely.
What
they're master marketers. It's a whole mm-hmm. shtick. I also do want to kind of introduce our special segment.
Yes.
So what I want to do is every week highlight a different celebrity Scientologist, because we've learned through past seasons that the celebrity sort of community is mm-hmm. a huge, huge aspect
right.
of this entire organization. Obviously, Leah Remini is
right.
a huge star and is an ex-Scientologist.
Right.
But there are still a lot who are kind of still in this church. I use the term
right?
loosely, but that's what they call themselves.
But they have scriptures now. They didn't used to have scriptures.
All
so
right.
They're moving along.
So this week, I want to highlight John Travolta, who, if you're not familiar, I don't know how, but he is a Oscar nominee. He's known for movies like Saturday Night Fever, Hairspray, Grease, Pulp Fiction, everything. He's done mm-hmm. it all. He's actually been he's practiced Scientology since 1975.
What, are you serious?
Yeah, that's a long time.
Really long time.
Very long time. And he started when he was given the book Dianetics, which is mm-hmm. their sort of like, you know, central feature, mm-hmm. while filming the movie The Devil's Reign in Mexico.
The Devil's Reign.
Yeah.
Very, very fitting.
Yeah. I want to know. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I want to know who gave him the book, who did this to him.
Yeah.
But, and, yeah, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I always love to hear about the celebrities that are in Scientology because, once you take a look back at them, it's like, again, I understand the lore, you know what I mean? Especially if you're coming out here and you want to be in the business. And then you hear all these stories about, you know, here's a guy whose career was just kind of eh. And then after Scientology, it was like, oh my, you know what I mean? Like,
using us
when,
models.
You, when you chase the dream, you know, the road doesn't matter. I just want, you know what I mean? So I get it. I get it. But I still love John Travolta. I love staying alive.
Oh, I know. And it's the thing is, they're not necessarily even bad people. Yeah. It's anyone can be brainwashed. And that's kind of what I've learned, you know, from this show and from the other cult shows I've watched. It's like, you think that it can never happen to you.
Right.
It's not true. Like, it can happen to anyone, as sad as it is. So be careful out there,
But as guys. Long as you watch this After Buzz, we can promise this won't happen to you.
Yeah. We'll give you, we'll let you know. Before we go really fast, I want to do predictions are a little harder since this
they
is
are hard, yeah.
you know, a reality sort of show. But they did give us a little bit of a teaser at the end of this episode. And they kind of were touching on the private investigators that the organization has. So I'm excited to learn about that. And also at the sort of top of the episode when they were giving a sort of overview of the season, it sounds like they're going to tackle a lot about the money aspect of it all this season.
Which was a big deal when they got that tax exemption, right? So that's because, I mean, technically, I don't know. I mean, I thought I'll probably have to look this up so I know for next week. But I thought in order to get tax exemption and to be a church, you had to have like some form of like if you're Buddhist, you have what is it, Muhammad? Like, I don't know how all these religions work, but I know everybody has like a specific thing they believe in or a specific deity that they pray to. Who do Scientologists pray to? Is it L. Ron?
I don't know how that works. Maybe we'll learn later this season.
We're going to try to figure that out.
Yeah, we'll look up the rules because it is interesting. And I think that they're definitely trying to make it so that doesn't happen anymore. And they do have to pay taxes.
Right.
So, you know, their resources are kind of depleted and they're going to try to kind of cut off the head of the snake in that way, so to speak. But yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I'm really, really excited for this season.
Me too.
Yeah, make sure to leave a comment, you know, on our YouTube page, and because I want to continue the conversation. We're also on iTunes, Spotify. You know, give us 5 stars on iTunes because the other ones don't work for some weird reason. But yeah, where can they find you?
You can find me on all things social media at JRayTheFanatic.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Elphaba_Anne and on Instagram at Taylor_Gates_. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
'The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.